Happy Thanksgiving.
To all of you out there, from all of us here at Magnum.
Hello and welcome to an episode of Throwback Reviews. This is episode number 23, and this is our very special Thanksgiving episode. So today we're going to be talking about Thanksgiving and old Thanksgiving stories and memories and all our little retro Thanksgiving stuff. And I'm not sure why I'm driving today. I think Sean Johnson had a little bit too much to drink at the Thanksgiving party. Are you okay over there, Sean?
Yeah, I'm doing okay, but it's better to be safe than sorry, so I figured I'd throw you the keys on this episode and let you drive us home.
Well, that's good. It's better that – I would say it's better that everybody gets home safely after Thanksgiving, but after some of my family Thanksgivings, I don't know. I don't know about that. And also today we have a special guest rejoining the show tonight is Ferg from the Atari 2600 Game by Game podcast. How are you doing tonight, Ferg?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. We all of us have the giggles tonight. There's nothing funnier, we've decided, than Thanksgiving stories. And so if you're ready to laugh yourself silly, we have stories of gravy and cranberry sauce and all kinds of funny and delicious treats for Thanksgiving. I don't know why Thanksgiving's so funny.
And Rob's going to use his storytelling voice the whole episode.
This is my Thanksgiving, my soothing holiday voice. You know, we've just come off of Halloween, and Halloween is a very loud and exciting holiday, especially for kids. You know, I think kids, you know, we always tell them, like, you know, be quiet, sit down, do this. And then on Halloween, we're like, hey, put on this mask and go bang on all the neighbors' houses and go get candy. And they get to run and go outside and do all those things. But, you know, when the Thanksgiving season, for me, it's kind of the beginning of the family holidays where you're just going to start having family over and over and over.
Yes. And if you come from a divorced family, it's a lot of family visits, different family visits, going to this house or that house. So.
Multiple Thanksgivings. Yeah, that'd be a good thing to talk about. And so, so do you guys, you know, this is, one of the things we started doing last week, and I delay this as much as possible because I really like Halloween. I like everything about Halloween. So we get out all our Halloween decorations and you cover your house with skulls and witches and all these cool things. I have a skeleton that is motion activated. And when you walk by, it sings Soul Man. I love that thing. I walk by it all the time, you know, and every now and then the cat sets it off too. And there's nothing in the middle of the night like being woken up with a generic version of a skull singing Soul Man to make you leap out of bed and see what's going on. But I noticed that we don't really have any Thanksgiving decorations. The only stuff that we have are like things that the kids make in school. But what about you, Sean? Do you have any decorations that you guys put up for Thanksgiving?
No, we don't actually. The same thing, you know, when one of the kids brings home some sort of art project or and even that doesn't really happen that often. They really don't make a lot of Thanksgiving stuff. But as a kid, my mother, she for every holiday, you know, she would have these it was like these molds, I guess, or not a mold, like you'd hang it up on the window and it was like these little melted plastic pieces that would make like a Santa Claus and different colored pieces of melted plastic. It was kind of rubbery plastic. I don't know what the heck it would be called.
But, like a stained glass kind of thing? Or?
Well, it kind of resembles that, but it's not glass. It's like they must have had some sort of like tray mold and they would put different colored like little plastic pellets in it.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and then you heat it up and it would kind of melt together a little bit, but you could tell it was textured.
Okay. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. And you had some Thanksgiving ones?
My mother would have a turkey and a pilgrim with a little rifle that she'd hang up. But and that's what we had as a kid. We also would have every Thanksgiving we'd have on the table just during the, you know, Thanksgiving season at my house, we'd have one of those. It would be a turkey, and then you would unfold the tail and kind of bend the little metal tabs.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So the back feathers would be like kind of like a tissue paper that were folded.
Yep.
And then unfold into this like big back of a turkey's tail. And that's really pretty much it. I mean, like I said, we don't do anything like that now.
What about you, Ferg?
I don't remember really any of that stuff except for the thing that Sean mentioned with the
you guys had the same thing. You had one thing and you both had the same thing.
But I also remember at school and at home sometimes we'd trace our hands and then cut it out on brown construction paper.
I got in trouble for one of those. That's so funny that you mentioned that. This is a true story. I want to say this is fourth grade. Could have been fifth grade, but we made one of those, and the teacher came in, and I mean, if you have kids that are in school now, you know that schools have absolutely no budget. They're constantly asking us to donate, you know, like little whatever snacks and Kleenexes and pencils and whatever you can donate. But there were certain things even back then, I guess, that were expensive, and one was a colored construction paper. Mm-hmm. And so there were like 25 kids in our class, and the teacher came in with 25 brown sheets of construction paper for us to trace our hands on. And she looked at us with this stern look. Her name was Mrs. Smith. I feel confident that she's not going to hear this. And she said, you know, basically, don't screw this up. There's 25 sheets, and that's what you're getting. And so I thought it would be funny when I traced my hand to move my hand after I started so mine would have six fingers. And I thought there's no way that she would notice or anything. And then I got the speech afterwards, and she was like, you know, how disappointed that I would ruin the thing. And I was like, ruin it? Look how much better I'm like, mine has more turkey. It's like one extra turkey part or whatever. And we had to take them home. And I remember I got in trouble. And then when I took it home, my parents thought it was hilarious. So too bad for Mrs. Smith. But, yeah, I remember making those. And my kids, they just brought home some things that they had colored, like things of, you know, pilgrims and Indians and all that stuff. And I know later in life, if you go look like on Wikipedia or anywhere, then we all find out that really it was a really terrible time and it wasn't anything like that.
Yeah.
But I don't, you know what? Kids have plenty of time to find out all the horrible stuff in the world. So I don't tell them, let them think that it was like that, you know?
Yeah. Let them have their innocence right now.
Exactly. So, other than those decorations, I'm trying to think of any like Thanksgiving traditions that you guys had or anything like that. Like, you know, for me, I mean, really, it was just, you know, we just have a big Thanksgiving that everybody brings a different thing and we all eat. And I'm sure we'll be talking a lot about food on this episode. But and watching usually football game now seems to come on, which when I was a kid, I thought all the adults were really into football. But now I know it's just a thing where you could go to and you don't have to talk to other people.
Yeah.
Right.
Or so take a nap. There,
I know, and I'm like, ooh, the Redskins are playing awesome. I couldn't name you a single player, but yeah, I'd go in there, and then the kids come in, you know, and I'm like, shh, hold on, Daddy's watching football.
Before that, earlier in the day, I mean, the thing I remember as a kid is watching, you know, the Thanksgiving Day parade.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah.
The Macy's?
Macy's, yeah,
yeah.
I still watch it. I watch it every year.
Yep.
And I still get excited when I see the giant floats. I know some of the floats, you know, when we were kids, you would always see the Snoopy float. You would see, I remember like a Garfield float. I don't know, things like that. Now I know they have a SpongeBob one and I'm like, eh, you know, but they still have some old school ones that come through, I think.
Underdog? Is Underdog still there?
I don't know. The parade is one of those traditions that my kids have no interest in, you know, I mean, like 4 minutes into it. And then my kid's like, hey man, my iPad's getting cold. He's like, listen, I got, zombies attacking my plants. I need to get in there and start doing some defense. But, I try to make them stay in the room at least, you know?
And do you find it to be, I wouldn't say annoying, but just discouraging as a parent, because I know it does for us. My wife and I, we get very, we don't get depressed, but we're just like, come on.
Oh, like, it pisses me off to no end.
I mean, you know, they, like, they just want to turn like Cartoon Network on or something, mm-hmm. you know, like, mm-hmm. oh, there's SpongeBob. Great. Let's turn SpongeBob on. And I'm like, you know, and we try every year to get them to watch it. And it's just, it sucks, man. Cause I want to watch it.
Yeah. Right. You know? Right. Ferg, do you watch the Thanksgiving Day parade?
It's been a while. Everybody that we get together with on Thanksgiving, none of us have cable anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have broadcast TV. So it's been years since I've seen it.
I wonder if you could torrent that. I wonder if somebody records it. If they do, what? I'll send it to you. I'll send you a link. Okay. I'll find like a pirated. I bet there's some cracking group like, you know, the Super Satans or somebody that releases the Thanksgiving Day parade. And it's like, here's zero day Thanksgiving Day parade. I bet it's out there. We'll see this year. I'll send it to you.
So Ferg, do you have like an HD TV?
No, no.
Oh, you don't have anything like that?
No, I have a regular, still CRT.
Oh, okay.
I was gonna say,
I have 5 antennas in my attic that I made.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, if the cable goes out or whatever, I just flip a switch and it starts drawing it from that. But since the digital conversion, it wouldn't work for you unless you bought a digital conversion box or something.
Yeah, I have looked into that, but I just never got around to buying one.
Ferg's saving up his money to buy that Underdog float.
Yeah.
The minute they quit flying that thing, he's all, I wonder what they do with those. Like, they don't, there's not like a float retirement home. Yeah, I mean, like, you know what I'm saying? Like when you have old computers or whatever, then they would sit, maybe give it to schools or something like that. But I don't know, there's just not much of use for a giant float, I wouldn't think. I don't know.
If they could reuse the plastic.
Reassemble it. Some spray paint. They're like, that SpongeBob looks a lot like Woody Woodpecker, except he's yellow. Well, that's just the way it goes, kids. So, it's funny that you mentioned the parade, because the parade is one of my earliest Thanksgiving Day memories. I want you guys to think for a minute here about your earliest memory, but I'll tell you mine. I can tell you that it was in 1977. Because I was 4 years old, and it was the last Thanksgiving before we moved to the house that I grew up in. We moved to a new house when I was 5. It's the house that my dad still lives in. And, so I was 4 years old, and about a month before that, we bought our first Pong. And so, when people came over, everybody wanted to play Pong. You know, it was like Pong was the most amazing thing that people had seen. And it was really amazing at the time. And, so everybody came over. And I was watching the Thanksgiving Day parade. And one of the reasons I always watched it is because, as you know, at the end of the parade is Santa Claus. He's always at the end of the parade. And for me, that was like Thanksgiving is over and Christmas has started. I mean, that was like, that's the exact moment where the Thanksgiving season's over and Christmas starts. Now, Christmas starts about 2 weeks before Halloween, yeah. But that's another story. But so it was that moment. And about 2/3 of the way through this parade, I got outvoted and everybody's like, we want to play Pong. And so they ended up turning on Pong. And I was like, but I'm not going to see Santa. I remember being very upset about that. But Ferg, do you have any early Thanksgiving memories?
I think I was trying to think about this. The one thing I do remember about Thanksgiving when I was a kid was watching all the horror movies. I don't know if you guys... I lived in the New York City area. I got New York City television, and they would play Godzilla, King Kong, Mothra. Every Thanksgiving, it would be something
for
to look forward to.
That's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. It's like all day long. I don't remember when they stopped doing it, but I'm sure I stopped watching it sometime in the early 80s.
That's cool.
It was something to look forward to. Like, no, my sister would watch sometimes too.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did.
It's kind of like...
I was just saying, we didn't... I didn't know those were on either. We never watched them. It was just pretty much the parade.
Yeah. It was like when they would show The Wizard of Oz once a year. It'd be something to look forward to because they wouldn't show it any other time.
Yeah, that's another thing. You know, we were talking about our kids and how terrible they are, as compared to our childhoods, which were awesome. But this is more associated, I think, with Halloween and Christmas. But for Thanksgiving, isn't there? There's a Charlie Brown Thanksgiving.
Yep. Yep.
Episodes, yeah. So you would have these things come on once a year, You know, they didn't show the Thanksgiving episode in the middle of spring or whatever. I mean, that was when they would show it. And so, you know, it was like a special time. Like if, when it was going to be on, you had to catch it then, you know.
Right.
And now, you know, it's probably on Netflix or, you know, I'm sure it's on YouTube or whatever. So I think that's another thing that my kids don't have that, you know, like whenever the Rudolph special would come on, that would be, you know, you block out your night. You got to watch the Rudolph special and
right.
Frosty the Snowman. And now that, you know, I have all that stuff on DVD and, so I don't know that kids, really have that, you know, wanting to be on a schedule to see things that are on TV.
Right.
But
yeah, I don't think that's totally lost. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, my kids are, you know, excited because, oh, there might be a new, SpongeBob or you know, my daughter likes to watch Jesse,
right.
I think it's called on Disney, you know, but yeah, when it's like, because I do remember, like you said, I think it was like every September, at the end of September, they would play Wizard of Oz, I believe. Mm-hmm. It was around that mm-hmm. time. It was shortly after school had started. So it was like every year you were like, oh, the Wizard of Oz is coming on, you know, or the Charlie Brown Halloweens and just all that stuff. Like now, because we do have them on DVD or on our media drives or wherever yeah. we have mm-hmm. them, mm-hmm. you know, it's just like, we'll watch it later. Oh, it is on tomorrow? can we just watch it on Saturday or something? I want to watch this. Yeah. So it's not as special
anymore.
Did
you have any other early Thanksgiving memories, Sean?
Really, honestly, not so much other than, you know, getting up watching the Thanksgiving Day parade, because before my parents got divorced, we would always go to my uncle's house. So there wasn't a whole lot of preparation in the morning, you know, like the smells and everything that I'm used to mm-hmm. now in the morning time when we do it or something. But so it was more just hanging out, waiting. But it really, like you said, to me, that signified that winter is here up in Buffalo. Like it's winter time because, you know, there's times at Thanksgiving you got snow, and Christmas is right around the corner, mm-hmm. you know, but yeah, it was mostly, you know, going to my uncle's house, getting ready, or maybe putting on a little nicer clothes than I normally would wear. And right. I do remember one time, I had some gray corduroys, and that was like my nice
your
pants,
nice corduroys,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But they had a little tiny hole on the knee because I guess I wore them a little too much. And you know how corduroys get when you wear out the knee, it's like they're flat. Yeah. But it had a little hole, and I remember taking a gray marker and like coloring like a big circle on my
right.
knee. So no matter how I moved my knee in the pants, it was still covered by some gray
nice,
marker.
Nice. So yeah. what time would you guys go over to your uncle's house?
I think we used to get there probably like around 1 or so.
Oh, okay. And then what time would you eat?
Yeah. Oh God, we probably didn't even eat till like 3.
Okay.
You know, it was a lot of talking, a lot of like finger foods, you know, cheese and crackers, stuff mm-hmm. like that. I can remember just being completely starved by the time we'd eat, but it was, yeah, I mean, it was an all day event. You know, we'd get there by 1 and I mean, we were there till the evening cause then there would be games or you know, my father, my uncles and everybody, my grandparents would all talk. I mean, mm-hmm. it was definitely an all day event.
Yeah.
And Ferg, where did you say you went for Thanksgiving when you were a kid?
When I was a kid, sometimes we would stay at our house. Sometimes we went to my grandparents and my aunt and uncle lived in the same house. It was a two-family house. And we would go there, and we would cram like 30 people into a tiny, tiny room.
Yeah.
But it was awesome. It was a lot of fun. And then I guess later in the 80s, we would pretty much stay just at home, the four of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of the way ours was too. In the early days, it seemed like more people came over and you would do stuff. And then it got where it was just our family. And now it's like full circle now that I'm married and now we do, you know, we do Thanksgiving pretty much at our house every year now. And, we've got a big formal dining room and a big table out there. So, that's one Thanksgiving tradition we have to find is somebody has to go find the leaf to the table, and we have to figure out how to do that stupid thing where you pull it apart. It never seems to go in right. But
well, let me ask you. I mean, do you think are your Thanksgivings as big of a deal as you remember as a kid? Because it was definitely like I just said, it was an all day thing. It was more of a tradition when I was younger. You know, and then as I got a little older, I mean, like when I would go to my in-laws, you know, it was kind of like everyone sit down, eat real quick. Okay, let's have dessert real quick. All right, let's play cards. Okay, let's go. You know, it just seemed more of a family thing when I was a kid, when I was younger. I can remember it more as it's just the family really got together and more about being together, I guess. Where now it's a little quicker.
Yeah, for us it's definitely quicker. I mean, it's you know, people are – and maybe part of it too, when I was a kid, because my mom would always cook the turkey and do all that. So, you know, for me, Thanksgiving seemed like it was 8 in the morning whenever the parade started until – everybody left, which would probably be 3 o'clock or something. So it seemed like an all day thing. Now, we rotate. Somebody in the family, cooks the turkey each year. So it might be my wife, or then one year it's my mom, one year it's my dad. One year it was, we don't let my mother-in-law. There's another person I hope doesn't listen to this show. She's not – first of all, my mother-in-law doesn't really cook, but my mother-in-law has a punctuality issue. And so we have learned over the years – first of all, we did the thing where we would tell everybody – this is the conflict, is that my – especially my dad, and then I got this from my dad, of being super punctual, and we don't like waiting on people. And my wife's family, not all of them are like that. And by not all of them, I mean none of them. And so if you say, you know, we're going to eat at 1, to them, that means sometime between 1 and 2, you should show up. And so so it's not that she couldn't cook the turkey. It's that we don't know when it'll arrive. And so we have
right.
Actually... If we give her something to bring for Thanksgiving, it's always a non-critical item or it's a duplicate. In other words, you know, or and what's actually worked out is she has a great – does great in bringing desserts, and so it works out because like – 1 year, you know, she said she'd bring the gravy, and so we basically ate without gravy until she showed up an hour and a half later. Right. So, but if she brings a dessert, it works out pretty good, you know. So, but yeah, we just kind of do the thing, especially now that I'm married. All of my immediate family, I mean, my parents and my sister, and then all their, you know, my sister's married with kids, and my mom's remarried, and, My wife and her mom and her sister has 3 kids, and those kids have kids. And so everybody comes over. Everybody brings something to eat, and we all just hang out and stuff. But like you said, Sean, it's not like an all day thing. It's not, you know, getting up at 8 in the morning and doing all that. Pretty much it's, you know, getting up. My wife will cook whatever she's supposed to cook for the meal or whatever. And then, you know, people show up. Between 12:30 and 1, we eat, hang out for a couple hours, everybody goes home. It does seem a lot shorter these days.
Yeah. I don't know if it's just life is busier now. I don't know what it is. Or you know, obviously, you know, you come from a divorced family too, so maybe it has something to do with that. I know it does for me, you know. Mm-hmm. And we don't – and now it's like it's never a set place. You know, it's been here at my house a few times. It's been – I've gone to my mother's. If my brother ends up coming up from North Carolina now, we're actually going to North Carolina next week. Probably the day this comes out, this drops, I'll be actually driving down to North Carolina to my brother's for Thanksgiving. So it's never been in one spot since I've been a kid.
Right.
It's always jumped around.
So you're gonna drive down there, is that right?
Yeah.
And how far is that?
You know, it's if you really want to get on it, you could probably do it in about 10 hours. I think my brother's done it a little just under 10. But he's a little lead foot. But my nieces are also older, you know, older teenagers where my kids are younger. So I have to do a little more stopping, potty breaks, and just basically getting out. So it's going to be an adventure. But I'll have to either post a video of my van inside beforehand, or I'll send it to you because I'm going to have this thing so rigged up. Like it has
packed.
Oh my gosh, dude. Well, the van has a built-in DVD player. So they're already spoiled there, but it doesn't stop. That's just the beginnings. You know, they each have, you know, my son has a tablet and the other two have our old phones. So they play games on them, you know, Minecraft and all that. So what I'm going to do is in the back of the van, there's a plug with an inverter. So that's going to have a cord with a power strip. Everyone's getting their own charging cords. I bought everybody new headphones that'll plug into the internal DVD player. I don't want to hear a peep the whole way. So it's going to be crazy.
Yeah, we did that. It wasn't for Thanksgiving. It was, I think it was for a summer vacation. But we had a Honda Odyssey minivan, and it had that same thing, the DVD, the entertainment center, whatever. And I actually hooked up our Xbox because you just plugged it into the inverter and the DVD thing had the end. Yep. And whenever we were getting ready to leave, my wife was like, well, I don't know that Mason, and Mason was little, he's probably like five. She said, I don't know if he knows how to run it. And I said, well, I'll run it. And she's like, well, how are you going to run it from up here? I said, I'm not sitting up here. I sat in the back and played Xbox the whole way. I made her drive us like 5 hours or whatever.
Oh, man.
But it was good times. And that was never allowed to happen again.
I could see why. I actually joked around with Nicole and said that I was going to sit in the back and watch TV. Because here's the thing, too. Like, we have a DVD case in the van, just strictly movies for the van. And they're so scratched up. You know, they get set, whatever. I don't know. I don't handle them. I don't know why they're like that. But so I'm trying to, like, rebuild the library this next couple days. Mm-hmm. And so I'm trying to throw in a lot of stuff I want to listen to if I got to hear stuff, you know, like I've got Teen Wolf and Back to the Future. You know, I'm trying to get some of the movies I like.
Right. If you're looking for stuff for the kids, and this show is not sponsored by Redbox, I'm going to mention Redbox. Maybe we could get a sponsorship from Redbox. But the cool thing about Redbox is that you could return them to any other Redbox. So like last year when we drove – we did our cruise from Alaska, and we actually drove from Oklahoma to Alaska. There's an app available for iPhone or for Android, a Redbox app, and it'll tell you where the nearest Redbox is. I hope we do get paid by how many times I say Redbox in this episode. Cause I'm up to, I don't know if you're counting, but if I get a buck each, Redbox,
who's gonna pay
Redbox,
us? Redbox?
Get a lot of, yeah.
I would think Redbox would pay us for every time we said Redbox.
Throwback Network. Home of old movies that you can find on Redbox today.
I'm going to work on that.
But all right, we'll see what we can do. Before we left Oklahoma City, we stopped at Redbox and got some movies. And then we drove, and then, you know, the kids watched a movie, another movie. And then when we were 6 hours away, we just turned on the app and found the nearest Redbox, went there and turned those movies in and got two more. So you can return them in any
city.
That
is a great idea.
Right. And then if the skids scratch them up, who cares?
Yeah. Well,
first of all, they're in Kansas City. Where are they going to come find you? Who cares? But the only problem with that is there's not always – they have a good selection of newer kind of stuff, but they always have a kids section though, so that works out okay. This part of Throwback Reviews is brought to you by Redbox, where you can find quality retro films, retro movies – and entertainment for your children on road trips. I hope we're going to get like $10,000.
Yeah.
Sean.
Okay.
You know what? I would, hey, this is better than a sponsorship from Redbox. If you go sign up on their webpage, they send you a thing like once a week for a free rental.
Oh.
So that's all we ever do. We just go get the free ones.
We actually, I don't know if you guys have actual like brick and mortar, rental places around you or.
We have, what's it called? Family Video. Yeah, that's it. That's the only thing that's left.
I mean, a lot of the stuff sucks or it is, like you said, it's scratched up, but it's literally right at the end of my street. So it's kind of, it's convenient.
Yeah. Yeah. Boy, I remember, you know, and not going on trips when I was a kid, we wouldn't do that, but it was so cool to go into those places. And even like, remember they had the ones that were in grocery stores.
Yep.
And, you would go, I actually have a movie related Thanksgiving story that I will tell you. my grandmother came down from Chicago and, we had this stove that had a timer on it. I don't know. You remember those where it would like an actual timer or that you had like a dial 84
yeah.
in 84? Okay, so this would have been 1984. So it had like a manual dial on the stove that you would turn it. And then it would go, you know, almost like an egg timer or whatever. When it hit the thing, it would turn off, you know. But ours was really messed up. I'm sure it had like years of grease and whatever like piled in that thing. And so it never worked right. It always gets stuck or it would just, you know. So it would have been 1984. My Grandma O had come down from Chicago and for Thanksgiving. And my mom put the turkey in and so then my grandma starts fiddling around with this little thing, you know, and she's turning this dial back and forth. And my mom's like, "Hey, don't screw around that dial, Grandma. Oh, it doesn't work." And so anyway, somehow my grandma basically managed to turn off the oven by messing around with this dial. So even though all the dials were set, I mean, it's set at, I don't know how to cook a turkey really, but I would ask you guys that too, but, so like it was set at however many, like 300 whatever degrees and all these things, but the oven itself was actually turned off because the timer was at the off position. And so then we sat around the house for like 3 hours, you know, waiting for the turkey to cook and everything else is about ready. And at one point my dad's like, "I can't smell the turkey." Like normally you could smell the turkey, you know? And so, eventually, we go in there and it's like ice cold. You know? The oven is not on. And so, I think they might've had some choice words for Grandma O. I mean, we try to be pretty nice to her, but, so anyway, then my dad said, and we had some other family from Chicago in and all the kids, like my cousins and stuff. And my dad says, "All right, we're going to the movies." And so, so I loaded all of us up. My mom had this big giant maroon station wagon and we all piled into the station wagon. And we went to the movies and Supergirl had just come out, I guess. And so for Thanksgiving that year, we had popcorn and and lots of Coke and we watched Supergirl. And then I think we had Thanksgiving supper. I think the turkey was ready about 5:30 or 6 o'clock or something. But Grandma O is still with us and she is not allowed anywhere near the kitchen if she comes down for Thanksgiving.
You know, I was gonna ask when the whole movie on Thanksgiving thing really kind of got big, you know, because when we were kids, I don't, at least up here, there was no like Black Friday type of thing. I know a lot of times when we are up here, actually probably next week when I'm in my brother's, my wife and my sister-in-law and my nieces will probably go to the movies.
Really?
Yeah, they'll probably go to the movies Thanksgiving night, and then that'll roll into a early out the door for Black Friday. Every time we're with them, that's how it always works. They go to the movies.
I don't know that we – I think that's the only time I actually remember going to the movies.
Yeah, I didn't know it was even open back then. I thought that was more of a more recent type of thing.
Right.
I remember doing it in when I was in high school, so it would be late 80s, mid to late 80s. I remember going to the movies on Thanksgiving.
Do you remember any of the movies that you saw going into that? It'd be hard.
I don't.
It'd be hard unless it was a memory, you know.
Yeah.
Like I said, I don't, that's not something we normally did. Usually, I'm taken after my father, but usually it was, we ate and then immediately after eating, either football came on or whatever. And then it was really like a countdown where mentally, I didn't know what he was thinking then, but I know what I'm thinking now. So I'm sure that's what he was thinking then, is how long till these people leave so I can take a nap. except for, my father does not wait for people to leave to take his nap. My dad will just go get in his lazy boy and take a nap. So you're free to stay there while he's sleeping. But he's definitely going to be taking a nap. And I'm the same way now. I'm like, the kids will, my sister's kids and my kids, they'll be playing. You know, last year I bought a Retron 3. And I guess now there's a Retron 5. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but the Retron 3 is a new video game console. And the 3 comes from the fact that it plays NES, Super NES, and Sega Genesis cartridges. Now, I have all those consoles, but I don't necessarily want my kids or the kids' cousins or whatever coming over and playing with all my old stuff, you know. So I got one of those, and I had an old TV, and we hooked it up upstairs, and you know, a couple times the kids come over for Thanksgiving, and then they get a little rambunctious. They want to run around. I just want to sleep, and you know, they're keeping me up for this holiday. But last year we had that thing hooked up, and the kids found Super Mario Brothers. I think they have Super Mario Brothers 3 actually, and they went upstairs and they played that the whole time, you know. And then eventually I came up and watched them. So it was everybody else downstairs doing Thanksgiving stuff, and me and a bunch of children playing Nintendo, which is. I call it a good day. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, that sounds good. I think we used to do that too. When we were at our house, we had the Atari there, and after dinner, we would play Atari, and the parents would sit in the dining room and talk. And I don't know if many of them smoked or not. I can't remember. I know my dad did, but I don't think he was smoking then. But mm-hmm. And my grandfather smoked cigars, and so they would just talk and have coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of times we would, because at my uncle's, we'd go for Thanksgiving, and a lot of times we'd go there for New Year's Eve as well. And kind of the same thing, we would have our dinner and everything, and then we would go, it would be my brother, my cousin, and his sister, so my two cousins and myself, and we'd go downstairs, and they had a real nice pool table. So we'd hang out down there and, you know, try and play pool or just do whatever, hang out. Mm-hmm. It kind of stayed out of. You know, the parents kind of did their thing.
Exactly, exactly. I was just thinking that, because it's definitely a holiday where it's like the kids seem to end up doing one thing and the adults end up doing something else. And everybody in my family and extended family qualifies me as a child. So whatever the children are doing, usually I'm with them. Whether if we're watching cartoons or playing Nintendo, I'm with that group. And then the actual grown-ups are talking. But yeah, it's weird that it kind of works out that way. It's interesting to hear that other people do that same thing.
Well, and again, that's another tradition that has been sadly lost, because it's not like that here. And all my friends that we hang out with, you know, a lot of times we'll try to get together once or maybe every other week. We play some cards at somebody's house. A lot of times it's here. And, you know, we always say this. We're like, do you remember, like, growing up in the 80s and, you know, your parents would be playing cards or talking, and the kids would go off and do their own thing. You left mm-hmm. the parents alone. You know, it was just, that's how it was. You went out, you did what you were going to do. If it was a summer, you went outside and played or whatever. In the winter, you went in someone's room or like my uncle's going to basement. But now it's like, I mean, it's so hard. The kids are always there, like asking you for mm-hmm. something. Like, you didn't do that when mm-hmm. we were kids. And it wasn't that you were afraid of getting in trouble. You know,
it wasn't.
Well, I guess it was, I guess it was, but you just didn't do it. You know, because they would just tell you, like, go, split, you know, and I try that. And they're just like, but Dad, and I'm like, oh, come on.
So when you get together with those friends to play cards, you should say, like, hey, do you remember growing up in the 80s or whatever? And then they say, yeah. And then you say, I found this awesome network called throwbacknetwork.net. And it's full of podcasts where people tell stories about the 1980s and the great times.
Yeah, they all know about it.
Yeah, I know. I'm the same way. People are tired. I've been telling everybody. Isn't it funny when every time I tell my wife, like whenever you send me a message or something, I always have to tell her. She's like, who's that? I'm like, you know, my friend Sean, the guy who lives in Buffalo that I do the podcast with. She's like, you could just say Sean. You don't have to give me like a four minute introduction every time you mention him. You know?
Yeah, so I would do the same thing. My friend Rob. Yeah, he goes by Flack. He wrote a couple books. He does a podcast. Right.
Yeah. And so, yeah. Now, so, and then whenever I tell her, I'm like, okay, there's this guy, and I do a podcast, and here's the thing. She's like, really, I don't think she wants to hear it. That's the, so she did whatever gets to the story quicker is what she's,
I have tried to just catch myself at times instead of being like, oh, so, hon, you know, on the network, these guys got never mind.
Right. I know.
You don't care.
Well, this is whenever I tell my dad, I think my dad remembers people's names. He associates their names with their faces. So all the people that I tell him stories about that he hasn't met, he has no way of remembering who these people are. He doesn't know who any of my friends are.
I'll send you a picture.
All right, I'll have something on my phone. I'll be like, my friend Sean from Throwback Reviews, and then I'll hold the phone up and he can see it. So whenever he meets my friends, usually, I mean, it'll be like at a function or something, and that's the way he will always remember them. So one time I moved, we bought our house, and there's this lady I work with, her name is Carol. And she's a super, super nice lady, and she'd always help us do things. And she said she's going to help us move. And I'm like, Carol, you are 60 years old. You're not going to be helping us move furniture or whatever. But she really wanted to help, you know. And so on moving day, she showed up with these two giant plates. She had used two loaves of bread and made egg salad sandwiches. That was like, and the funny thing was, only about like six people showed up to help us move. So it's like everybody got like 14 sandwiches. And so then after that, every time I would tell my dad, I'm like, hey, you know my friend Carol at work? And then he goes, egg salad sandwich lady. And I'm like, yeah, that's right. It's egg salad sandwich lady. So anytime I mentioned Carol, it's egg salad sandwich lady. And where this really backfired was I had a friend, Ernie, who my dad had never met. And my dad ended up stopping by my friend's house. I don't remember what they were doing, but my friend was having a Halloween party. And Ernie answered the door, and Ernie was dressed as a nun. And so it was a great Halloween costume. And so every time I would mention Ernie, then my dad would say, Ernie the nun? And I'd say, yes, it's Ernie the nun. So Sean, you could be Sean the podcaster. And I'll be Ferg the Atari. Well, I think there's only one Ferg in my life, so I could just be like Ferg. I'll say Ferg the Atari guy, and I'll introduce you guys to my dad that way.
So send him a picture, Ferg.
So
okay,
we'll do that. You know what I was thinking? We have our old Thanksgiving traditions, like the things we used to do, like we were talking about the watching the parade and having people over and cooking and stuff. And I do want to talk about food. I want to get into food here in a minute. But my dad, several years ago, my dad went out of town to buy a car. And to move this car, he also had to buy a trailer. And he got a good deal on the trailer and the car. And so he has this I've used the trailer way more than he has. He used it to move that car. He's used it once or twice. I used it to move dozens and dozens of video games. Every time I would move the arcade games that I bought, this is the trailer I used. But it's 16 foot long and a little over 6 foot wide. It's a big giant trailer. And we went over to his house 1 year from Thanksgiving. All the kids were out there, and I don't know. I don't know how it got started, but somebody suggested that we take the kids for a trailer ride. And so we hooked up the trailer. All the kids got on. It was like a hay ride. Well, except for without the hay, just a trailer ride. But we drove around the neighborhood doing, 4 miles an hour, real slow. And the kids just had a blast, and I thought, well, that was kind of fun. And then the next year, that was like, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago. And then the next year, the kids, they all said, oh, are we going on our trailer ride? I guess so. So we kind of started a new tradition. And then ever since we bought this house last year, well, actually, this will be the third Thanksgiving, I guess, that we've had in this house. But the last 2 years, when my dad shows up, he has the trailer. he brings the trailer on his truck. And then after we eat, we take the kids out and go do that. So but that's kind of a new tradition. Are there traditions that you guys do? Like Sean, anything that you do now with your family that you didn't do as a kid, anything different?
No. I mean, I wish we did, but like I said earlier, we don't have a set place now. It's like every year it's kind of up in the air where we're going to be. When it would be at my mother's house, it was, kind of catching up with, some other relatives, but it recently passed. So, not really. I wish we did. But like I said, like if we get together with my brother, it's more or less going to be like, all right, the ladies are going out to the movies. We're staying home with the kids. I'm going to ask my brother to see if there's like a retro arcade, and we'll take the kids out or something. But that'd be the next day anyway. So
where's your brother at?
He's in North Carolina, about 25 minutes from west of Charlotte, I think.
I know there's an awesome retro arcade in Charlotte, North Carolina, and it's called the Lost Ark. or the Lost Arcade, maybe. I went there when I drove through, and they have, I'd say about a dozen retro arcade games. They have about another dozen pinball machines, and then they have a huge area of retro video games. And I mean, like consoles. You know, games and stuff. Yeah, yeah. So, like, used stuff. They had a huge selection of really cheap Xbox games. I was going through a phase when I was there. I'm trying to acquire every Star Wars game made for every platform ever. And it turns out there is a lot of them. Who knew? I have a whole shelf of just Star Wars games. But, yeah, they had a ton of, like, Xbox and old PlayStation games for, like, $5 and stuff. And I'm sure if your kids have got, like, Nintendo DSs or something, if they're taking anything like that on the trip, that they can maybe find some cheap stuff. Or, you know, they had a huge Atari selection when I was there. So for your Atari, and didn't you tell me – aren't you looking at getting an Intellivision or something?
Yeah, actually, my co-host on Android App Addicts, Eric, told me he's got a couple at his parents', and he just told me the other day that he's gonna, you know, when next time he's over there, he's gonna grab it and ship it out. So that's awesome. So I can't wait to play it.
Sweet. So yeah, go see if they got some Intellivision games. But it's I'll send you the link, or we can put it in the show notes or something. But Lost Ark is a cool spot.
Yeah, but unfortunately, that they'll probably be Black Friday, while they're out, it won't probably be Thanksgiving.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So we don't. We really don't. But Furry, what about you? You got anything?
I usually force people to listen to Alice's Restaurant, Fire Alarm Guthrie. I had friends in high school who introduced me to him, and I didn't know this. I remember hearing it on the radio when I was a kid, but I didn't know anything about him, and I didn't realize there was a movie. I've never seen the movie. Have you guys ever seen the movie?
No.
Yeah, he did a movie about it. And I guess something that we've just started doing in the past couple of years, that we just go around the table and say something we're thankful for, which I think is pretty
cool. That's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah. That's about it, though.
I'm usually thankful that all those people are leaving in about 2 hours.
See, I'm the opposite. I guess when... Like you guys said, when we were kids, it was more of a family thing. It was an all day thing, and I think once we started going to the movies, it kind of stopped being like that. Mm-hmm. And now I want it to be like it used to be, to be a whole all day family type thing.
Right. Yeah.
So that we usually there's a bunch of us that get together every year and try to spend the whole day. Usually I'm the only one who has to go to work the next day, so.
One of the things my dad always gives me, and it's good-natured ribbing, but every time we get together, I will tell him things like, so I just went to this Donkey Kong thing, and he stops. He's like, I know all about it. You put it on Facebook. I already saw the pictures, and I already read it on your blog, you know, and so I'm like, okay, and then I'll just tell him everything anyway, but then I'm repeating what I already, so I know that he already knows the story, you know? And so, you know, he does it in a fun, joking kind of manner. But the reality is that through Facebook and Twitter and email and cell phones and texting and all these other things, that we do keep so much in common, or, you know, in touch with people, that when you get together, I think that is a lot of part of it, is that, you know, when I was a kid and I remember family coming over, it was catching up and finding out what's going on in people's lives. Now I know what's going on in people's lives. You know, I bought, I sent Ferg a picture on Twitter of these Atari games that I found. I was really excited. I found a bunch of Atari games in a used game shop for a couple bucks each.
Yeah.
And Ferg lives about 2,000 miles from me, and he knew about it about 10 seconds after I bought him. Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, we are in that type of connected world. So when you get together, it is hard to, you know, catch up, quote unquote, with people. And I don't think it's the same. I'm like you, Ferg. I have those nostalgic memories of getting together and just sitting around. And I was just telling my wife this the other day. We were on the way to work, and we went by McDonald's, and for some reason the drive-thru was under construction, and so we went in, And there's this little table, and there's like these four or five old guys, and they're sitting around. They've all got their coffee, and they're eating breakfast. And I'm like, God, I want to be those guys. I mean, I don't want to be old, but I want to be that guy like that gets up early and would meet my friends one day a week to go have coffee or do something. And I don't do that. I might, you know, what I'll do is I'll send them a picture of coffee on Facebook, and then I'll click like on it. I might do that, but I'm, you know, I just, I don't know. I think that there's something about that getting together face to face and doing that, then I think we're kind of losing.
Well, you might get to that point at some, you know, when you're a little older, maybe. I don't know. Because I know we have them all around here. You go somewhere, diner, you know, a Tim Hortons, a coffee shop around here, and you're always got a couple guys sitting around that you know that's where they go every once a week or whatever. And my father-in-law just started doing it probably about a year ago. He had retired a little while ago, and one of his old friends, he ran into him, and they exchanged numbers, and the guy wanted to meet him for breakfast, and he was very hesitant of doing it. And that we find out, like, they meet like once a month. Once a month, they meet up, they go out to breakfast, they catch up.
Yeah, I'd love to do that.
Because,
yeah.
I mean, and it, this isn't like a slam on you or anything, but I don't think everybody is as active, you know, in Facebook and stuff like that, with as many people, you know, like I, that is one thing, like, as far as my family goes, I don't really, interact with them socially on the web. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there is some stuff where my brother will say, yeah, I saw you posted this podcast on Google+, cause he may check, cause he's in Carolina. We don't talk as much, but, it definitely is. I get, not to say it's an art form dying, but it is something that isn't done as much.
So what I got out of that is I post to, I'm just, you know what? I just blocked you on Facebook just now. How you like that? I'm going to mute you the rest of this episode. Is there a way I can do that on this thing?
I can do it to you. I started to hang out.
No, but you know, it's funny because a lot of times, like, I'll post something on Facebook and I'm not thinking about my parents, like, oh, yeah, I went to a, you know, like I go, a lot of times what I do is, in the olden days, if I got together with a friend, I would say, oh, you know what, last Friday I went to this thrift store, and they would go, oh, really? And I go, yeah, you know. But now you go, and on Facebook, like, I just check in, and it's like, so, you know, Rob was at whatever pawn shop or something. So then you've taken away that conversation point when you see that person. You're like, I saw that. And then they go, oh, I saw that. And then you go, oh, okay. You know what I mean? You won't see it because you're blocked on my thing now. We'll have scads to talk about next time we run into each other. I'm going to be at that arcade in North Carolina waiting for you. I'm going to call them.
You know what's funny, though, is I can remember it as a kid in grade school wanting to get like a pen pal or something, you know, someone that I could, you know, write something to somebody. And I remember a class, it was the same grade level, but it's a different class. And like, they did that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, why are we not doing that? You know, and then another class, I remember they like tied balloon, like their name and addresses on the balloons and would let them go. And I think we might have done it, but I never got any kind of response. So,
you know, in Spanish class, when I was in, I think I was in eighth or ninth grade, we did an exchange where we got to email somebody, and I got this girl named Paula who lived in Brazil. And it was part of our grade, and I wrote her this letter, and she wrote me back, you know, and I was like, I'm kind of done with it. Like, I had nothing to talk to Paola, but I did it for the grade, you know, and I probably got letters from Paola for like 2 years, and they were always like, she called me Roberto. And I was like, Roberto, I'm so worried for your health. I just felt terrible. It would be things like, you know, she would see things on the news and she'd be like, oh, you know, I hope you were not swept away in the hurricanes or something. And they were like worse and worse. Whenever I would get them, I'm like, oh, it's terrible. I should really write her back. And then I go, nah. And I kitchen drawer. I probably have them somewhere. That could be, we could do a whole episode just called, Letters from Paola. God, if she finds this podcast, because I think I faked a message one time, told her I died. I'm like, Roberto is dead.
Oh, my goodness.
Do not write Roberto anymore. Signed, Roberto's father.
how did we get here on a Thanksgiving episode?
I don't know. Do they have Thanksgiving in Brazil? I guess they don't. That wouldn't make sense, would it? I don't know. But you know what they do have in Brazil is food. And so let's talk about Thanksgiving food. And I got to tell you, I'm the master of the segue. I don't know if you know that. I can take us from pen pal letters and with Paula in Brazil to what kind of stuffing you have on your Thanksgiving. So I have to tell you that when I was a kid, we have my parents and my grandparents made bread stuffing. And you take if you make it with two loaves, they would toast one loaf and then not toast the other. And you put it together and you put your celery and chop all and the onions and you put it inside the turkey and you cook it. And by the way, I've read and people tell me if you put the stuffing inside the turkey and cook it, it will kill you and it won't kill you.
What?
I think, yes, because they're like, it doesn't cook long enough or whatever. And so I don't know. They're everybody's babies.
You just cook it longer.
I know. They're dumb. Anyway, so when I married my wife, we got married and had her family over, and everybody divided up what they were going to bring, and her family brought stuffing, and then they brought this crap, and I was like, you forgot the stuffing and brought some crap. I don't know what this is. And they're like, well, this is cornbread stuffing. And I was like, oh, well, you made it wrong because you're supposed to use bread and toast. And they're like, no, we use cornbread. And so that has really been a point of contention between our two families let's see, we got married in 95. So this will be our 18th Thanksgiving in which I've had to sit at a table with crappy stuffing. And so and both families believe that their stuffing tastes better if it's cooked inside the turkey. So there's kind of a power play as to who gets to cook the turkey, because whoever cooks the turkey is also going to get – nobody wants to make the turkey, but everybody wants their own stuffing inside the turkey. So whoever does the turkey gets to make their stuffing, and then the other family – and so every year we sit down at the big table and you pass it, and then you have to say, you know, can I have the mashed potatoes, please? Can I have the whatever? Can I have, you know, the good stuffing? And not your family's crappy stuffing. And her family says the same thing. So we only eat our stuffing. So is there – what kind of stuff – I need to know what kind of stuffing you got. If it's cornbread stuffing, I'm never coming to your – I might come. I'll just bring my own stuffing.
Okay. I usually make the stuffing when we get together, and it's – I make this bread at work called stuffing bread. It's got the French fried onions in it. What else does it have in it? Sesame seeds, sunflower seeds, and poultry seasoning. And I cut that up and, you know, stale it in the oven.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll make the stuffing with apples and sausage, breakfast sausage.
Really?
Yeah. I don't cook it in the turkey, though.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Sausage and apples?
Yeah.
All right. You're not invited to Thanksgiving. I don't know what that is. That's ridiculous. You can put that. You can make it with cornbread. Nobody eat it. Next, Sean, what kind of stuffing do you have?
Well, I could say as a kid, I don't know if my aunt or maybe my grandmother made the stuffing. Because I have a feeling my grandmother did some of the cooking at my aunt's, but I really don't remember. I was off playing. We weren't allowed to be around.
Right.
But, I don't know if they made homemade stuffing or what. I was more about the desserts as a kid. Now I'm the other way around. You know, I like desserts, but I also like the main course as well. Mm-hmm. But as a kid, I was like, can I have a peanut butter and jelly and some Jell-O or something? But I'm most embarrassed to say this, but I didn't know people still made their own stuffing. My wife buys the stuff in the bag that you heat up some water and butter and stir up.
Let her know she's blocked on Facebook too. You're all gone. You're all out of my circles. Really? I want to know: are you guys white meat or dark meat? Do you have a preference when it comes to the turkey? I mean, like, do you? like whenever we, like, I always go for a white, like, I always get a slice of white meat and put gravy on it or whatever. I don't know. Sean, do you, is there one that you go for one or the other?
Well, I mean, we don't even have turkey on Thanksgiving.
What?
Well, I'm from Buffalo. We do wings.
Are you serious?
People don't. Yeah, people don't eat turkeys in Buffalo on Thanksgiving. We have wings.
Out.
We'll do different. Yeah, we'll do like barbecue. No, I'm just kidding. You know, I used to be where I would only eat the white, you know, the breast mm-hmm. meat, but and then it's kind of funny. It's like you pick up your habits from like your father, right. or whatever. My father would always eat. You know, he'd be like, "Oh no, I'll take the dark meat. No one wants it." Well. You know, I find out recently, like, as a father myself, that, well, that's the best stuff, man, that greasy dark.
Yeah, really?
So, and nobody in my, like, house here, my kids, my wife, would ever touch the dark meat. And I'm just like, you know what? You guys have the good stuff. I'll take you know, the legs and stuff. And then my son just tried it the other week. We had a roaster chicken, and he's like, "Dad, it's pretty good." I'm like, "God."
Oh, he's in on the secret now.
Chicken. Yeah, so I as a kid, it was always the breast meat with gravy on
yeah.
it. I really didn't. I don't just. I wasn't that big a fan of the turkey as a kid.
I wonder. I'm not so much on the post office rules. Like, I know you can't send like biohazard. I don't know what all you can and can't. Can you ship stuffing? Because I'm gonna make you guys some stuffing. I'm gonna make O'Hara. White bread, not to Ferg. Ferg's like you. Ferg actually works. I don't know if people know this. He works in the food industry, which is why I'm sure Ferg stuffing is like a million times better than whatever my family makes.
Well, yeah, he knows the turnout. He's like, "I stale it in the oven." Like I would just be like, "I just bake it in the oven."
Right.
Ferg's like, "I slice it into quarter slices right. and I stale it yeah. at 250.
I stale things by leaving them on the counter for 3 days.
In the convectional oven.
But so I'll make some for Sean.
He's got his hairnet on and everything while he's doing it.
Do you make the stuff that you make, is it like for sale, like to the public or whatever?
You mean the stuffing bread?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So do people come in and get that like for their own stuffing and stuff?
Yep. Yep.
Huh.
Yeah. I don't make a lot of it, but we usually sell them all every year.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's cool. Do you specialize just in breads, or do you do
me? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I do at work. Yeah.
I had an uncle that was a, I don't know, like, for lack of a better word, like a bread chef. He worked at a hospital, and that's what he did, was all the bread and stuff. And he brought at Thanksgiving one year, he brought the rolls, and then every time somebody would take a bite, he'd go, "How's the roll?" Like, he wanted to know how. We're like, "Well, it's like a big lump of bread. It's pretty good, you know.
Yeah.
And it's got some butter in it." And then he was like, kept pushing it, you know, like,
yeah,
you know, you'd say, "Oh man, look at all this gravy." He's like, "You know what'd be good on that gravy? If you put a roll in there." You know, he's really pushing the rolls. And whenever it was time to get all the leftovers and stuff, he just took all the bread. He was like, "I'm taking back all whatever wasn't left of the rolls he left with." He took it all back.
Oh man, yeah, those are always my favorite too, with a little bit of like brown sugar on top of them or something.
I put about a quarter. I put like a quarter stick of butter.
Butter, yeah.
Right in the middle. Like I gotta dig it out with my finger, like in the roll, to make an opening for as much butter as I'm about to put in that thing, you know. And you know, my favorite thing is. The day after Thanksgiving, and I'm not a typically a leftovers kind of guy. I'm not huge on eating leftovers and stuff, and mostly it's because I'm too lazy to re-prepare them properly, you know. So whatever I'm going to eat is going to be, you know, cold or steaming hot because I microwave it for 80 minutes. But the best thing the next day is a turkey sandwich. Put some white meat on there. I put a little bit of stuffing, my kind of stuffing, not crappy cornbread stuffing, a piece of cheese, and a little bit of Miracle Whip. Put that on there.
Oh.
I could eat those.
You ruined it at the end. I'm a mayonnaise guy.
Thank you. You know what? When I was a kid, we used to eat. My mom would always make frozen corn dogs. We had a Fry Daddy. Did you ever have those where you fry stuff in it, you know, no. like oil? You
yeah,
know what I'm talking
actually,
about?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
They would make fries like that, yeah.
Yeah, we made fries and chicken nuggets and corn dogs in this thing. And so,
yeah, we didn't make corn dogs.
Yeah, my mom would put them in there. And I remember one time we were at the table and we had like ketchup and mustard. And I was like, you know, my dad said something to the effect of, he's like, well, ketchup is for, you know, babies. And mustard is for grown-ups. Like that. And I was like, well, and after that, I always get mustard. So I was like, I don't want to be a baby with ketchup. So I think Miracle Whip is for grown-ups. Maybe mayonnaise is for babies that don't like.
Miracle Whip's disgusting.
It is disgusting.
It's got a weird aftertaste, man.
Yes.
I know. I can't do it. And, you know, now being older, I don't mind like the leftovers a meal once.
Mm-hmm.
The second time I'm like, ugh. My wife will be like, well, I know you have something to take to work on Monday. And I'm like, it's Friday. I don't want, by Monday, I don't want to eat it again, you know. And as a kid, I couldn't stand it. But I was super... very, very picky eater when I was a kid. It was either pizza, peanut butter, jelly. Like, that's really all I ever wanted to eat. But like I said, it was the desserts. My favorite dessert was my aunt would make, and I'm not even a huge Jell-O fan, but it looked really cool. She would make this like layered Jell-O where it would be like really thin layers, like green, you know, a cherry and then a grape, and it was like all thin, so when you slice it you would just see all the different colored layers. I loved eating that stuff.
I made a couple of years ago, this is my sister hosted Thanksgiving a few years ago. She had just two kids then, and they were pretty young. I mean, they were probably like, they were little kids. I mean, like, one was probably, they're probably like 3 and 5, maybe 2 and 4, something like that, but little kids. And everybody was going to make something for Thanksgiving, and I made, and everybody was like, oh, don't bring a bunch of pies, because that's what we always do, is we bring like a million desserts, you know, and then, you know, just load up on that. And so I made this thing where that's the layered Jell-O, where Sean's got a picture of this Jell-O. It looks like almost like a thing of Post-it notes.
Yeah,
it's like square with all the different colors and stuff. That's really cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
So I made a turkey. I found this thing online on how to make a turkey. And I'm going to send you this picture, Sean, and we could post it with the thing, because it's the coolest thing ever. It was like two cantaloupes. Like, one body was the cantaloupe, and then the head was another cantaloupe. And then you use like shish kebab skewers for the tail feathers, and you put little cubes of different colored cheese and grapes and stuff, and put it. It was really cool, and it was kind of like food, but it was a big centerpiece. And I put it on the table, and I went to do something. I came back, and the kids had pulled out all the skewers; they'd already eaten all the. It was gone so fast, but that was a cool thing.
Well, what about you, Ferg? What were some of your favorite desserts as a kid on Thanksgiving?
I like pie,
any kind. Mm-hmm.
Pumpkin pie, apple pie, coconut custard pie, mince pie. I like mince pie a lot.
What exactly is mince pie?
Mince pie is, it's diced fruit, basically. Sometimes there's meat in it, actual meat or suet, and sometimes there's not. But it's, the mince is because of the fruit, the mince fruit that's in it.
I never had it.
I haven't either. Not a big Southern thing. I've had pie with gravy. I'm from Oklahoma. We've had everything with gravy.
Apple pie with cheddar cheese. Ever have that?
No.
Yeah, that's a New England
thing.
Now,
would that be like the cheese would be kind of baked on the top?
No, you heat it up and put it on after. Like, melt it on the top.
So when you were a kid at Thanksgiving, you guys would have just like a selection of different kinds of pies? Like, everyone would make a couple different pies?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I don't go for... I like cake, but I'd rather have pie on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And that's usually what I make. I'll make a couple pies.
Yeah, we always have... I think we've had a pumpkin pie for every Thanksgiving I can ever remember. At least. I mean, we have several desserts, but that's like a staple. Like, you have to have your pumpkin pie. And
yeah.
I don't ever remember there being leftovers. Like, I don't ever think I've been so full that I couldn't have another piece of pumpkin pie. You're like, oh, well, there's one left. All right. I could do one more.
The only pie I liked as a kid was like a chocolate pudding pie, like on a graham cracker crust with pudding and maybe some Cool Whip on it. I would not touch pie as a kid. Now I like apple pie, blueberry pie. So I still don't. I've never had cherry pie. It still creeps me out. I will not.
What?
Creeps you out?
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of cherry. And like pecan pie or that disgusting one that you said, Ferg, about the coconut.
Mince. Oh, coconut custard?
Oh, yeah. My good wife stuff. Loves anything coconut. I just can't do it. But as a kid, though, I wouldn't go near the pie unless it was like a chocolate custard pie, but it was always that layered jello.
Yeah, that's cool. You have to post a picture of that, too. I never seen anything like that. Well, let's see. We got food. We got Thanksgiving. I'm starting to – I feel like I've eaten all this food. Yeah. And I'm almost ready for my Thanksgiving nap.
Well, you know, a funny story kind of that I had, and it wasn't actually on Thanksgiving Day. It was the Wednesday before, which would be your last day of school, and you had Thursday and Friday off. And so up here, they would always do, at my school, they'd do a turkey trot. So, you know, as a kid, it would be I don't know, it's probably like maybe a mile and a half. You know, I was only in, I think I was in maybe fourth or fifth grade. It was the beginning of my running career, and I should have known that it wasn't a good thing. But it was funny because the school that I went to, we didn't have a indoor pool. So they would bus us from one school to the other school in town that had an in-ground indoor pool. We would take swim class there. So what I would do is on swim day, I would not, I probably would never do this now, but I would wear like sweatpants and I would have my trunks underneath. And that day I forgot to bring, some skibbies to put on afterwards. So I go to sweat and I forget that we have to run this, like you didn't have a choice. Like it was during school hours. You had to run this turkey trot. And like I said, it's up here in Buffalo. It was snowing. It was cold. And I had swim class, and after swim class, we got to bus back and we had to run the turkey trot. And there's Sean with his sweatpants and no gotchies. And man, I'm going to tell you what, man, it was the worst mile and a half I ever had to run in my life. It was awful. And so now that I'm running, that's what I can kind of think back to. It's like, if I could run that, I can run, you know, whatever race I've been in lately. It was awful.
Well, you know what? I like that. That's funny, by the way. I was kind of thinking about what Ferg said about what he, when they get around the table. And I think that's a nice tradition that he said about picking one thing that he's thankful for. And, you know, one thing, and this may sound a little cheesy, but one thing that I am thankful for this year is, that we all, this whole podcasting thing has kind of taken off for all of us. You know, Sean, had the original vision for Throwback Reviews, and then, I ended up, you know, listening
doing
to
all
that
the
show
work.
And he does all the work. He does all this. He eats all the pie. He does all this stuff. But so that's definitely one thing that I'm thankful for is that you know, through podcasting and through the internet and stuff, that I've got to meet Sean and hang out with Sean and get to sit here and chat with Ferg and all these different cool people. So I'm definitely thankful this year for that. And I know Sean, I'll just go ahead and speak for him. He's thankful that he met me. He's such a guy with looks, stunning looks and brains. And this new microphone setup that hopefully won't blow out the recording, so he has to spend hours.
I'll be thankful in post, hopefully, this week. Well, Ferg, if you want to follow that sappiness, go ahead. I think I'm going to pass.
Yeah, I guess I'm thankful for the network, too, and meeting you guys, especially Rob, finally, after so many years of going back and forth on digital press.
That's true. Also, we've been chatting. Yeah. When did you first start? Oh, we talked about this. You got on there before I did. I got on in 2003.
I think I was the year before.
Yeah. So Ferg and I have been talking online for like 10 years, but we never talked, face to face before we started doing this stuff.
Yeah. I'm also thankful for
Ferg's
my
thankful that I interrupt him all the time on the podcast. Sorry, Bert. Go ahead.
That's all right. I was going to say I was thankful for my wife to, you know, keep prodding me to actually start doing my podcast. So that's why I'm doing this now.
Yeah, that's. I think all of us have wives that both support us on this thing, and then we're all grateful that they give us a little bit of time to do it too. I know mine is probably downstairs wondering why I'm sitting in a room with a shut door, laughing at a bunch of guys on the internet. You know?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'm the same way though, man. I mean, really, this Rob came on. It definitely brought a new. It was like renewing Throwback Reviews, to be quite honest, you know. So it's brought more life into it. It's fun, and you know, and then the network came alive, you know, and so it's definitely awesome there. And yeah, man, I got to give my wife props, because I know I'm in here three times a week with the door shut. You know, I do this show, and then I do my Android show, and then one day I'm editing. So I know it's probably a little frustrating at times, so. But yeah,
it's been good times. Well, you guys got any other Thanksgiving related things that you want to say first, before we wrap?
Should we just like do like a virtual hug or something right now? I mean, I feel like they're all warm and fuzzy inside.
We've got a few more minutes to kill if you want to say some more things about me you're thankful for.
Yeah, Rob. I'm thankful that Rob can't get the player right on the network. And I mean, no, I'm
I'm thankful I'm not going to have to see your crap on Facebook anymore when I go delete you off this thing.
Oh, man. No.
Well, cool. Well, you know what? Let's take just a minute and talk about, you mentioned the network, Throwback Network. Is it not going crazy? Is it not more awesome than you thought it was going to be?
I'll tell you, man, I really am thankful for that. I mean, it's, we talked about it, and you say it was my idea. It really was. It was your idea when we first started talking about you coming on the show, or when I asked you to come on the, you know, Throwback Reviews as a permanent host. We kind of talked about, you had the idea of maybe doing something like that. And so I kind of pounced on it, and, we would talk about it a little bit here and there. And I think I finally pulled the trigger on it and was like, all right, dude, we're doing it. But yeah, mm-hmm. I knew it would get, big, but I didn't think this fast it would grow this fast. I mean, we really do. I mean, we have some solid shows on this network.
Right. And then, Ferg was like the first, guy that came on that wasn't a show that one of us was on. We had Sean's, well, we had Throwback Reviews. We had, You Don't Know Flack. We had, OTR Radio, which is a cool show. I don't know, Sean, you don't talk about it that much, but, you know, if you're like, even if you're at work, that's a cool show just to put on if you like, you know, and even if you don't think you might like listening to old radios and stuff, it's pretty cool to just put on and hear some of those old episodes and you might, you know, get hooked on listening to it. But
yeah,
it's
something that I really started it. Honestly, I did it with the intentions of for myself, because I was like, well, I'm always throwing stuff on my phone to listen to old time radio. I'll just put it in a podcast form and it's just easy to get on and off my phone and I'll just share it out. And it's OTR Playlist, by the way.
Oh, what did I say?
But OTR Radio.
Oh, like, well, change
like,
it.
Like you,
OTR
like
Radio you is better.
In your podcast
sounds better. But, I'll go change.
I think
it
that's already. I think that's already taken. But yeah, you're right. Ferg was the first one to come along. I mean, we knew instantly we wanted to get Ferg on here, because mm-hmm. we're both big fans of his show.
Yep, and then I think Doug McCoy was after that. And then you know what I feel bad about is we got approached from the No Quarter guys. And, you know, they were saying, oh, well, you know, we'd like to, you know, if you'd consider us. And I told them, you know, and Sean and I have talked about this too, that, you know, we didn't really think that, I mean, we thought we kind of had everybody that would be interested, like those other guys, like people would be too big for us, you know? And so it was, flattering for those guys to do that, because and this is the honest truth, the Intellivisionaries, Ferg's show, Doug's shows, all these are shows that I listened to before they were ever on the network. I mean, all the shows that are on there are all shows I listened to. I don't know about Sean.
No, absolutely. Yeah.
That you know, OTR like No Quarter.
Radio. Yeah. I heard that one before. But no, absolutely right. And like the Intellivisionaries, they probably, I'm going to say that by the time this show comes out, they'll probably have had their third episode out. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you what, from episode one, it's like they've been doing this podcast.
Oh, dude, they're nailing it. Yeah. Yeah. And it's a long one. So it's one of those where, you know, they really get into stuff and talk about stuff. It's definitely a cool one. And I think I just saw Paul just tweeted out a picture like of his recording area, like his mixing boards and stuff. So I think he's mixing down episode 3.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a sweet looking setup, man. Definitely jealous of that. But yeah, their show is top notch, man. Mm-hmm. He does a great job editing down that show. Yep. Really good. Like I said, you think they were doing it for years.
Right. Oh, and well, I mentioned that we added No Quarter. I got to sit in with No Quarter with Mike McGinnis a couple days ago on their last episode. And that went live. I think they published that today.
Yesterday,
is that when it was? But I was in Denver. We talked about that on the last episode for the Kong Off 3, and that's where Mike McGinnis lives. And so I got to go over to his place, and they had me on the show and stuff. It's just super fun. But those guys are awesome. And then Carrington Vanston from No Quarter is also on Retro Computing Roundtable. He does that show with Earl Evans, who used to do Retro Bits, and Earl does a bunch of shows too. And they're all, like I said, we're all just similar-minded guys. I think everybody on this podcast network loves the same type of stuff. We all love retro things. We all have old video games and computers. And so even if, you know what, one thing that I found is interesting is that when I was a kid, I didn't have an Intellivision, but the Intellivisionary show, I listened to it anyway, even though I never had one. But it's just that show is so interesting, you know, and the same thing with, you know, like the Retro Computing Roundtable, some of those, or every now and then there's like an episode of No Quarter that's about a game, or Ferg. And I don't know, Ferg, I don't know if you get different like levels of feedback or stuff for games, but you know, sometimes Ferg does games that I've never heard of or that I didn't have. And then sometimes he does them that are really popular, you know, but they're all good to listen to.
No, I do the same thing. I didn't have an Intellivision and I didn't play half the games on No Quarter, but I still enjoyed listening to those.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you've done some episodes of the 2600 one that are games that you didn't have back in the day. See, I could say back in the day on my podcast. Yeah. Ferg does not like that phrase.
Yeah. But,
but yeah, and so and like the Jawbreaker and the Kong one. Did you have either of those?
No, I never played them until I started collecting in the 90s. Wow.
So, but yeah, it's really cool. So, sorry, I know I've gone on about my wife is like, the other day she's like, do you do anything other than listen to podcasts? Because that's all I talk about right now. I'm like, so I was listening to this one show about really old computers. She's like, I don't care, you know. But I just find it's like, you know, I don't always have time to read or go do research or play all these games and stuff. But now it's like all these cool people that I enjoy listening to, and they're all talking about stuff I like to hear about. So yeah, I'm just really excited about it.
Well, I mean, it's just the beauty of podcasting. You know, I think we talked about this maybe last episode, or I know at one point we talked about it. It's, you know, you find the things that interest you, and you know, it's out there in podcast form generally. You know, that's what I tell mm-hmm. people when they ask me, like, well, what is podcast? What is it? I'm like, it's just stuff that, you know, specifically about certain things. So whatever your interests are, go to iTunes, put it in the search bar, and I guarantee you, you'll almost mm-hmm. always find a podcast on that subject. If somebody else is interested in the same thing, they're talking about it.
And if you don't find it in the search, then do it yourself.
Absolutely. Great advice. That is great advice. That's how a lot of us started our shows. That's how I started yep. Sprite Castle. I kept looking for somebody that was, you know, reviewing Commodore games and nobody's doing it. Finally, I was like, I guess I'll do that. And so yeah. Yeah, absolutely right. That's great advice. And with that, I think we have covered Thanksgiving. I tell you right, I wish I had turkey stuff right now. I wish, Thanksgiving's almost here. I wish that I could go down there and make me a turkey and Miracle Whip sandwich.
I always want pizza when I'm done podcasting.
Pizza?
Yeah.
Yeah. But Sean, you got anything else for Thanksgiving or anything that you want to plug?
No. I mean, just check out throwbacknetwork.net. all the shows that we just talked about. We really, like Rob said, it's not just, oh, we want to just try and get some guys. Like, we love these other shows. We're fans of them, and so we're glad they're on this. So definitely check them out. Check out Ferg here, the 2600 Game by Game podcast. Awesome, awesome podcast. It's one of my favorites. I told Ferg, man, it's one of the ones I look forward to most.
Absolutely. Thanks. Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
All right. And Ferg, you got anything else? Anything you want to plug
I have a tip. If you're cooking a turkey for the first time,
yes,
make sure you reach in there and grab those bags of giblets in the neck out of there before you cook the turkey. Because the first time I cooked a turkey, I did not do that.
Yeah, my wife did the same thing. We did that one year. All right. Well, I think that with that great advice from a professional, I think you might have shot your cooking credibility right there for a little bit. I don't know if anybody's going to buy your freshly staled bread after they hear that story about the is it giblets or giblets?
Giblets, I think.
Giblets?
Yeah.
It's all giblets to me.
I got one. I got one last thing too. Actually, this would be coming out right around Thanksgiving, and then we got Black Friday, and then what comes after Black Friday? But Cyber Monday. So, again, if you want to help us out, the network and all the shows, the site, you could go to throwbackreviews.com/Amazon, or just go to the site. Go to throwbackreviews.com, throwbacknetwork.net. On the sidebar, we got a link to Amazon, and it's like an affiliate link. Won't cost you anything more if you're doing some online Cyber Monday shopping. We would definitely appreciate if you use that link.
Yep, I was just going to say that the if you're buying something on, also all you do is click on that link and it takes you to Amazon. Yep. And then if something was going to be $20 before, it's still $20. Yeah. It's just Amazon gives us like 8 cents or so. I don't know. I mean, they give us some percentage of the price.
Yeah, all
right?
It's doing is there's a little code that's just saying that it came from us. I signed up with an affiliate for the network and the podcast, and that's really all it is. It takes you right to Amazon. It's all the same, doesn't cost you any more in shipping or the price of whatever you're buying. It just says, hey, we came from Throwback Network, and they go, hey, thanks, Throwback Network. Here's a quarter. Thanks for signing up.
Right. But it does add up over a while, you know, and so, yeah, it's just going to pay for hosting, and it's going to pay for shipping for all this great stuffing that I'm going to – no, we wouldn't take that out of that. That'll come out of my pocket. You're going to get this big hard brick of something. You're like, what is this? Because I'm cheap and I'll probably ship it media mail. You'll probably get it around Christmas. So, all right, guys. Well, thank you. Thank everybody. That's the final thing I'm thankful for is all of our listeners. Everybody that's been tuning into these shows, tuning into the network. So thank all you guys for listening and supporting us. So I hope everybody has a safe holiday. If you're traveling, be safe. And hopefully maybe you could listen to this episode on your trip. And everybody will get back. And do we know what we're doing for the next episode, Sean?
Nope. But I will. Once we figure it out, that's something that you and I kind of need to get a couple shows figured out. And I'll post it on the Twitter, Throwback, at Throwback Review.
Yep. So go to the Twitter, go to the, or Facebook. Yep. We just go to Facebook and look for Throwback Reviews
podcast.
I just type in Throwback Reviews up at the top. But what do you talk?
I don't know.
Actually,
Throwback Review. I don't know how to use Facebook.
I don't know. Just find us. We don't even know. We don't even run this show. We give it all to Ferg, and Ferg's the brains of the operation here. We're all puppets in this world. Anyway, thank you guys for listening, and we will see you everybody on the next episode of Throwback Reviews. I'm not so good at winding it up.